Reformed Church.
But I think that people definitely underestimate the influence that people can have on you. And, you know, it's not something to be taken lightly. The people that you hang out with, I guarantee you they're influencing you. It's true, we got the armor of God, we got the shield of faith, we can quench the fiery darts of the devil, we can do all that, and guess what, you're still learning. There are things that you don't know. And I would say, the people that you hang out with, just be okay with the fact that they're influencing you to some degree. If you can be okay with the fact that person is rubbing off on you to some degree, then I would say it's probably okay to hang out with them. And if you're not okay with that, then I would just limit the time. And you know, it doesn't mean that you never see somebody, because no one would ever get saved if we didn't interact with people that aren't saved, that need the truth. But I would spend time with that person in accordance with how you want them to influence you or not. Because, again, I'm not saying they have to influence you, but I would venture to say the vast majority of the time, it's happening, and you don't even realize it's happening. Think about this, too. Even when the Lord called Abraham out from his family, he says that he told Abraham that only if he left would the Lord bless him and he'd be a blessing. Man, that is such a powerful thing, to think that God is speaking to Abraham, meaning that Abraham heard from God at this time, and he's hearing from God, and God's saying, even though you're hearing, because we would say, well, I'm hearing from God, I can hear from God, you know, I have the truth. Why do I have to leave certain people and certain relationships to be able to hear the truth from God? Abraham was hearing right then and there. And yet the Lord said, if you don't leave your family, I won't be able to bless you. And you will not be able to be a blessing. I won't be able to make you a father of many nations. I won't be able to do this. We wouldn't know Abraham. Think about this. We wouldn't even know Abraham as the person and example the Bible refers to him as if he hadn't left his family. Now, this is not an advocacy, just a blanket statement, like just leave your family. But I'm talking about just relationships in general. Obviously, Abraham was an adult at this time, and he was around people that I believe the Bible talks about, that they were idol worshipers and stuff. And again, I would just say, spend time with people like you're okay with them influencing you if you do actually end up spending time with people. I don't think this is true of most people, but if I spend time with somebody that I know doesn't believe like I do, and I hope that you'd adopt this mentality, but I don't think most people do this. I can't even think of the last time that I spent time with someone that didn't believe like I do, where I was not conscious beforehand. Like, you know what? I'm putting my shield on. I'm getting ready. I'm preparing my mind, and I'm going into this knowing, you know what? I'm going to speak the truth in love. And this is like a battle mode where I'm like, and all that I mean by battle mode is that I'm preparing my heart with the truth. I'm making sure that, you know what, when I'm talking to them, that it doesn't mean you can't listen to anything someone says or hear, you know, about a problem they're going through to minister to them. But like, I'm going to limit the kind of stuff that I allow them to input into me. And I'm going to make sure I'm ministering to them. And granted, you can do it out of a heart of love. You can do it out of a heart of really wanting them to be ministered to. But I'm like, I'm on my guard. That's I don't think most people have that mentality when they go into certain scenarios, even just spending a little time with somebody that doesn't believe like you do. I mean, that's the mentality we should have. It's guarding your heart. Out of your heart flows the issues of life. That means the life of God flows in accordance with what you think on. So, like, this is like, make sure you guard that. And again, I don't think people realize how many men of God were led astray, did not fulfill certain purposes that God had for their life just because of relationships. They were seeking God the same as they always were, and then added a relationship of somebody that wasn't seeking God like they were, and they backed off of things. They fell short of the purpose that God had for their life. People think like, oh no, that's not influencing me. I'll leave you with one last point on this, that this is 2 Corinthians, and I think it's chapter 10. I think it's 10 or 11, but I think it's chapter 10, where Paul basically tells them, he says that basically you put up with it if someone devours you, if you hear another Jesus, if someone smites you on the face. He says you well put up with it. He was saying this as a rebuke. Hear me on this. He was saying this as a rebuke, meaning That's just not the way it should be. That they were tolerating someone speaking to them another Jesus. And I understand the mentality where people say, no, I'm mature enough to withstand it, though. I'm mature enough. I know people are saying this, you know, like I've talked to people before where their kids were in public school hearing about evolution and whatever. Oh, but they're mature enough to withstand it. Or I've heard people that, oh, they're reading this particular book. And I'm like, doesn't this book have this garbage in it or something? And they're like, no, I'm mature enough, though, to know better. Or people will say, oh, I know I have a relationship with this person, you know, but, you know, I know the truth, though, and I know they don't really know it the way I do, but I know the truth. And people use that as a sign of maturity to say, I know, though, but I'm not going to be fooled by it. Man, if you are the person that will put up with someone smiting you in the face, so to speak, with doctrine, if you are someone that will put up with someone speaking things that are not according to Jesus, if you are someone that will embrace a relationship where someone doesn't believe like you do, you are not mature enough to withstand it. Mature people flee youthful lusts. Mature people flee temptation. Mature people stay away from things that would be a danger to them. It's a sign of immaturity that he was talking to the Corinthians, that you put up with wrong doctrine. If you put up with wrong doctrine, it's a sign of immaturity, which means you're even more prone to fall for that stuff and be influenced by it in ways that you don't even realize it than someone who actually is resisting that and just staying away from it to the best of their ability. It's funny, the person that actually says, you know what, I don't have any toleration for stuff that's not according to the Lord, that person stays away from that, stays away from relationships, that, for instance, where they're not willing to receive your belief and they don't believe like you do. They're willing to kind of keep some distance there and be careful about those things. Funny enough, though, that person would actually be able to withstand wrong doctrine better than you would, but yet, again, it is a sign of maturity, though, to not put up with it. It's a sign of immaturity to put up with it. So it just puts you in the right frame of mind to actually see, like, where do you stand in your maturity? And a show, because faith shows itself by works, right? James says, show me your faith by your works, meaning there are things that we do that will show what we believe. And so Paul is saying there in 2 Corinthians, and it is chapter 11, and Paul is saying here that essentially a work that shows immaturity in faith is when you well put up with it. If you'll just put up with wrong doctrine and wrong beliefs and stuff like that, and when you're not careful about it, it shows that. You know, let me just tell you this one last thing, too. It's funny that the person that he was even talking to me about, oh, but, you know, I'm mature enough and all that stuff, they don't even come anymore. And the one thing that I felt when they even stopped coming was, man, they were just so, like, they were careless with the truth. They believed it. They believed the truth. They believed what they were hearing. They were actually receiving it. Unlike a lot of people that have even come through our church before, they were actually receiving the truth, but they weren't careful with it. Like they received the truth and then they weren't careful. And now I guarantee you, if I were to even ask them about things that they learned at the time, they probably don't even remember that they ever even learned them. So it's an important thing. Relationships are going to have some kind of influence on you sometimes, and you have to be spending time with people that you're okay with that. So anyway, I'll get off that, but I think it's an important thing just to take a note of, because that's part of your guarding your heart, right? That you can certainly have the Lord guard your heart when you hear someone speak something contrary to you, but it's just better not to come in contact with it to begin with, you know, a lot of times. So, man, you know God loves you, right? God loves you so much. Even if the Lord, the Bible says that the chastisement of the Lord and the correction of the Lord is because he loves us. So I would just encourage you. I didn't necessarily feel led to even share what I just did before. I just kind of started saying it. I didn't feel a particular thing about it, but I just want to put this out there, that if you feel that that's applicable to you in any way with the whole relationship thing, accept the correction of the Lord, because he does it because he loves you. God loves you. So I just want to throw that out too right now, that whether it's that or it's something that we say in the rest of the message, just make sure that you, if you feel like that's applicable, don't harden your heart against it. Make sure that you accept that and say, you know what, Lord? Yeah, I'm going to be watchful of that. You know what I mean? Like, because sometimes you can let it just kind of roll off your back, kind of like on a duck's back, just kind of rolls right off and it doesn't make an impact, it doesn't stick, but like make sure that sticks. You know, like if you feel that's applicable in some way, don't harden your heart against it. Don't brush it off. Just say, you know what, Lord, if that's me, then I want to make sure that because you only correct us because you love us. I mean, man, it's like even with a parent and their kid, if you don't put guardrails up for your kids, it's because you don't love them, right? Kid, if you love your kids, you'll put guardrails up, because as your kid's driving through life, if you don't put a guardrail up, they're going to go off a cliff. So you put a guardrail up to make sure that they stay in a safe path, right? And that's in anything, including in doctrine. And the only reason why God says things to us, God will correct us. Man, God has just, when I say this word rebuke, I just mean like corrected me. But God has just strongly corrected me on things before. And when he has said certain things, it's not always the case that you perceive it this way, but when he says it, I'm just like, man, Lord, thank you so much for doing that. Because it just, I when you see it like a guardrail, you're like, man, I could have gone off a cliff over there, and you love me enough to speak up and not care what I thought about it. Even if I rejected it, you're going to say it anyway. And, you know, even when you correct somebody, you got to love someone enough that even if they reject it, and that you're not going to withhold it just because of criticism. Because people will criticize you if you correct them. They will. But you have to love them more than yourself. Love them more than yourself. Because when you don't say something that you should just because you're going to be criticized, you're loving yourself. You're preserving yourself. When you say something, even knowing that that might mean criticism for you, but it's going to be helpful to them, that's loving them and preferring them more than yourself, the way that Jesus preferred us more than himself. Okay, so that's the point of correction. It should always be the motivation of correction. So I just want to leave you that. And again, even as we go through, if there are things the Lord says today, just make sure you accept it and say, you know what, Lord, yeah, if it's true and if it's in line with Jesus, make sure you just accept these things, and because the Lord loves you and that's why he wants to teach you.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformedchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformedchurch.com.